This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lance Zierlein, hour number two here on The Bench. 713-780-3776. I'm going to give you guys two options here. You want to jump in on specifically Rockets or Texans or Longhorns bowl game today. It could be about Texas Longhorns program. I'm going to give you three options. Technically four. You can talk about the Rockets, I'm down. The Houston Texans, I'm down. The Longhorns game slash program, I'm down. We'll make it very specific, 713-780-3776. Or if you have an info line call, I can help you. What info line is info line is questions that I have answers to. It's very simple. It can be about anything, Christmas lights, how to cook a steak, issues with, you know, with it can be like, as I don't even want to tell you what your questions are, because for those of you who know, info line is just about, no matter how basic your questions are, I can get you answers. And sometimes how complicated they are, I can get you answers. I have the answers. I definitely have the answers. Sometimes you may want to use the answers, and sometimes, you know, you have to make those decisions. Like Eric says, how do the Texans assess where they are now, and what do they need to do to move forward? What I say to that, Eric, is, well, to assess where they are now, I would suggest going to a website and just Google, and it can be anyone, just Google Texans standings. Do that. Just Texans NFL standings. Google that. See what comes up. And I think you're going to find that it's not very good. That's one of the ways you can assess where you are right now. Now, what do you need to do to move forward? Well, on InfoLine here, I would suggest that the Houston Texans clean house. And it doesn't involve necessarily vacuuming or any type of bleach products, but just getting rid of everything and hitting a reset on the entire front office. Coaching staff, front office, just hit start. There's some good things in there, but at this point, you might as well just reset it. You got some guys coming back from injury. You got a chance to win some games next year. Just completely reset it, okay? That is like an info line, only with a softer voice that I do. So if you guys want to get an info line call going, 713. If we get three of them, Jose will start the music and we'll get an info line cranked up. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Jump in now, and it will be for this segment. Coming up here in about 8, around 8:16 or so, a best of segment from me and John where there was some disappointment with Drayton McClain. Drayton was the reason the Astros basically went into the tank. He got a lot of credit for a lot of years, but now we just see he didn't do it right at all at the end. Matter of fact, the end of his tenure with the Houston Astros was really, really bad. It was just about how can we get this, you know, what can we do for today? Can we get a, what kind of special towel or bobblehead night or whatever, just every trinket and ridiculous thing he could think of to try to get people into the stadium. And it wasn't about putting together a really good baseball product. It was about getting old players and bobbleheads. And that was it. And so I just, in the dogs at the park thing, and I know they still do it, I'm just never going to get that. But it's even worse, though. If you're winning, you can do dogs at the park. You can throw mustard on kids. You can jump on trampolines and do hand puppets and do whatever you want to. I don't care. But if you're losing, don't come with dogs at the park as one of your gimmicks when you don't have real players. I don't want to see that. Just run the rest of the season out so we can just stop, so we don't have to see it. So that's going to be coming up here in just a little bit. And then Bill Williamson is going to join us. He doesn't think the Houston Texans should get rid of Bill O'Brien. He thinks it would be a massive mistake. So we will get with Bill Williamson, longtime writer for ESPN. He now writes for a variety of different publications. And we will get with him on the Bill O'Brien thing. I think the Bill O'Brien thing is complicated, but when you get past the problem of you're worried that, well, Bill O'Brien was so good with Deshaun Watson. Well, basically, you're just saying that Deshaun Watson can only succeed with Bill O'Brien as his head coach or his quarterback coach or mentor or play caller or whatever. And I just don't think that's accurate. I mean, that's taken a lot from Deshaun Watson. That's basically like saying, yeah, Deshaun, you made a lot of really good throws and made plays happen and all that, but we know it wasn't really you. It was just Bill O'Brien. Do you really believe that? I mean, I think Bill O'Brien is a pretty good offensive coach. I don't know that he's proven enough as a head coach, but I also watched Deshaun Watson rip the asses out of Alabama in back-to-back seasons and national championship games, and they were loaded with NFL players. So, yeah, I'm not really – and last I checked, Bill O'Brien didn't coach Clemson, didn't call plays for Clemson. So I feel kind of confident that Deshaun Watson can make plays no matter who his head coach is or who his offensive coordinator is, unless they try to stick him in some type of pro-style under-center attack where they just go, you know, completely in a different direction. I think the Texans will be okay no matter who the play caller is or no matter who the quarterback coach or even head coach is. I think Deshaun Watson will be okay. I shouldn't say Texans. I think Deshaun Watson will be okay. Some news came out about the Houston Rockets. Not crazy about this. Clint Capela, although it could have been much worse, Clint Capela suffered a right orbital fracture and is going to miss the next two games. Let's see. We know he's for sure going to miss Boston tomorrow, and then he's going to miss Washington on Friday. So they say he's just going to miss the next two games. I hope it is just the next two games. I hope it is just the next two games, because if it's not, that bothers me. I had this discussion with my kids were asking me about, we had this, it went on argument. It was just a discussion about who the most important player is right now. Who would you rather have on the court? If you had to choose between Clint Capela and Chris Paul. Now, obviously both of them are immensely important and for different reasons, but I think right now in the regular season, I would say Clint Capela, because rebounding, easy baskets. When Clint Capela's in, you get dunks, you get easy baskets. You take away some second shot opportunities because of his rebounding. You keep it alive for second shot opportunities for yourself because of his ability with his length to tip it out, things like that. And he can challenge shots at the rim. So I think right now Clint Capela is actually maybe a little bit more important than Chris Paul in a regular season, but it's irrelevant because they win everything when Chris Paul starts. But I want Chris Paul to make sure he's healthy by the postseason. That's all I care about. All I care about is health now. Because I think if the Rockets are healthy, they got a chance to win a championship. If Chris Paul isn't 100%, you know, or isn't fully healthy, I mean, then we could be having the same kind of discussions we usually do. Do you have some? I'm going to do. We got an info line call here. Do you have the music ready? Let me hear it. Let me approve it. Let me see if this is what we're talking about. If it's true info line music. No. Wait. Yep. There we go. Well, it's actually not. This is Kip's music, but it's okay. It's okay. It's definitely functional. So let's get Jeffrey in here. If you have an InfoLine question, it's InfoLine 97.5. I am your host, Lance Zierlein, giving you information. It could be sports, cooking, weather. Maybe you've got an issue at your home with your children. A relationship problem. I've got answers for you here on InfoLine 97.5. Hi, Jeffrey. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Just wondering if you could help me or lead me in the right direction.
Sure, Jeffrey.
I'm trying to get the nachos for my wife at a minimum of three times a week.
Yeah.
Lately, it's only been happening once every 6 weeks. Just wondering, what can I do to make that happen? Thank you.
Yeah, nachos is a euphemism for relations, Jose. I don't know if you know
that
or not.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what he's trying to do is have relations / intercourse with his wife. I think every relationship is different. So here on InfoLine, what I would suggest is the quickest way to a woman's heart is buying gifts. I'd like to tell you it certainly helps if you clean up around the house, or put your dishes away, or put your shoes away. I know from personal experience that can cut the nacho supply low. But I think one of the best ways is just to start buying the love. Technically, if you do it with someone who's not your wife, that's called prostitution. But if you do it with someone that you are married to, and this is inside the realm of matrimony, it's no longer considered a purchase. It's considered greasing the skids for more relations. So one of the best ways that we suggest here on InfoLine of maybe increasing the uptick in relations is simply through purchasing of gifts. That is almost always successful. Now, it does have a shelf life that is a little shorter than you would like. But for example, if you get an expensive purse, that could run into the almost 2 weeks of potentially paying off. But then when that's over, you're just stuck with a super expensive purse and a nacho supply that runs way low once again. So just be prepared for that. So I would suggest purchase. And the other thing is you could try the old cleaning up around the house and being sweet, but we know that will only get you so far. It's InfoLine here on 97.5, 812 here. It's time to talk about your Houston Rockets. NBA All-Star voting has begun, and you can help get your Rockets to L.A. for the 2018 NBA All-Star game. Look, James Harden's got to be in L.A. That's where the party is. You know it's going to be jumping off in L.A. now, right? We got to get James to L.A. That's his spot. So you got CP3, who's coming from over there. You got Eric Gordon. You got Clint Capella. They're all having All-Star seasons. Let's get them to the All-Star game. Vote daily to help them make the All-Star game. Post your votes in your Facebook status by tagging them with the player's first and last name along with the hashtag NBA vote. Tweet and retweet daily, James Harden, hashtag NBA vote. Vote on the NBA mobile app or on NBA.com. Fans can vote by enabling the NBA All-Star skill on Amazon's Alexa platform. You might have got one for Christmas. And then asking NBA All-Star to vote for their player of choice daily. There are so many ways to vote, and it takes less than 60 seconds to do so. So let's get our favorite Rockets on the All-Star stage in L.A. We know James is going to go knock it out with CP3, Eric Gordon, and for sure Clint Capella as well. Let's get those guys to the All-Star game and do it by hashtag NBA vote. Make sure you tag with those players' names. Welcome back to InfoLine 97.5 here. I am your host, Lance Zierlein. Sorry about the break, guys. Some very important stuff going on here on InfoLine. Mark asks, red or blue? Hashtag InfoLine. Let's go blue. Kind of matches the weather outside today. Greg says, what is the best way to clear the shower drain from your wife's hair? Hashtag InfoLine. Well, there is a Drano-like substance. If you go to Home Depot, it's black. It is inside of a plastic bag. It's so strong, they have to put it inside of a plastic bag. You're not allowed to touch it. That thing can rip through concrete, basically. Pour that down your drain. Just give it like a good glug, 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 like four glugs. And let it sit overnight, and that will take all the hair out of the drain. Now, if it's just on top of the drain, just scoop out the hair with your hands. But my guess is you've got a problem deep inside the drain, and that stuff at Home Depot will eat right through that. Won't be a problem at all. Patrick asks, why come the preacher can't have a nice house? Well, you can have a nice house, but I think it just needs to be at a reasonable cost if you're getting tax-free dollars from the church. Hey, LZ, do you think it's appropriate to let the whole city know when it's your buddy's birthday? Thanks, I'll hit send and listen. InfoLine. Absolutely. What are friends for? If you're truly going to be a great friend, there's no better way than to put it on InfoLine and make sure that you get the shout-outs that he deserves. More of a question, but did your wife get her money back for the trampoline? Hashtag InfoLine. We had a trampoline that I purchased last year before Christmas. I never set it up. Just big, heavy-ass trampoline. And it sat in my garage for a full year. My wife said, she was on my rear end, Jose, about this for quite a while. And said, why aren't you going to take this back? This is a waste of money. It's sitting in a garage. Now, I did what most men do. I ignored what she was saying and pretended I didn't hear her, which also leads to a nacho problem. But that's another topic and segment. And this time she goes, I'm taking it back. I don't care. I'll pretend like we got it before this Christmas. Unopened, mint condition, selling the same exact item. She took it back and got full store credit. So wow. Now we've got full store credit a year later for that. There were people on Twitter who got really upset about that and said we were what's wrong with the system, but it's unopened, you dumbasses. So in mint condition, and they literally just put it on top of a stack of other ones exactly like it and sold it. So you can eat a D, a bowl of D's, if you like, because if you were going after me, if you were one of the like seven people who are trying to go after me on Twitter, I really don't care for you very much. It's InfoLine here on 97.5. One more question. Let's get, who is that, Will? Let's get Will in here on InfoLine. Just trying to help you guys out here on 97.5. What's going on, Will?
Hey, good morning, Lance. I'm a huge fan of the show. Two questions, just because I have an anniversary and Valentine's Day is, you know, coming around the corner pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. One, what is your most highly recommended steakhouse in the greater Houston area? And number two is, what is your favorite barbecue place, I guess, in the greater Houston area? And then I'm sure you've traveled outside of the Houston area and had some fantastic barbecue. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I would say for barbecue, one of my favorite spots. Everyone has different places they mention. We have some really good barbecue here. Two of them. I'm going to go with Pinkerton's for the wet brisket. Pinkerton's for the wet brisket. And then my man over on Regal's off of Hillcroft, and Voss, between Fountain View and Westheimer. On Thursdays, they have pastrami sandwiches, and this is on my mama and on my mama's mama, who would be my grandma Stevens. They have a sandwich called the pastrami sandwich that is the greatest sandwich I've ever had in my life. It's on Thursdays, and there will be a line, so you better get your punk ass over there at 11 o'clock. That's from InfoLine. Make sure you get to Regal's. Barbecue really good. Steakhouse, let's go with Ronnie Killen's Steakhouse, either STQ, that's right next to Regal's, or his spot out in Pearland. Of course, you can hate on the name if you want, but try to act like Papa Steakhouse doesn't have some badass steaks, because they do. That's going to do it for InfoLine. Will, thanks for calling, and thanks for being part of that. Oh, well, I'm sorry. If another InfoLine call comes in, I will take care of that for you. Hopefully, we're getting some really great information for you. Let's get Tony in here. Put him on hold, and we'll get Tony in here on InfoLine 97.5. As you guys see, I'm just full of great information for you here on InfoLine. Let's get Tony. What's going on, Tony? Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
We're doing well. Me and Jose.
I'm sorry, I could barely hear you guys. I have a question for the InfoLine. Is there anybody in sports that's more self-absorbed than J.J. Watt?
Yeah, there's actually several people who are more self-absorbed. I would go, one would be Odell Beckham, would be more self-absorbed. Who else? I think LeBron's up there kind of high on the self-absorption level. Bryce Harper gives me that kind of vibe as well. I'm not going to act like, here on InfoLine, we like to tell the truth, and I'm not going to act like J.J.'s not a little bit high on that list. But because he raised $37 million, we have to give him one full year before we actually mention that he loves where the cameras are.
Can I get another question in?
Yes.
Where is that money? Why is it taking so long to get that money out to people?
I don't really know about the dispersal of the money, to be honest with you. I'm not on that whole on that one. I think people are getting their stuff. I think it's going to different places. InfoLine, that's the one question InfoLine can't really answer, is oversight of $37 million. InfoLine would like to give you an answer, but InfoLine's worried about getting sued if I make too many jokes about the $37 million. Thanks, Will. Or Tony, whatever your name was. All right, so here is something else. This is John and I. Now, it is a blessing that Drake McLean sold the Houston Astros. I hated the Drake McLean era by the end. Jim Crane bought the team. They kept tearing it down so they could rebuild it, which should have been done like in 2007, and Drayton wouldn't do. And he just tried to come up with gimmicks at the park. It was just so painful. And John and I talked about this during the Drayton McLean era, and this is what it sounded like as we continued to slide into worse and worse levels of mediocrity and terribleness. We could only basically make jokes about it, and here were some of those jokes.
Tootie, fruity, sugar booty, goodbye.
Please, Uncle D, if you do that, I will say nothing but good things about your team. I don't care if you win 40 games this year. I'll just be like, you know what? I'll be your John McClain. You know what? There's a chance they're going to turn this thing around. I'll just be – Astros are turning around. Everything's amazing. I'll put stats out there to show how good you are. I'll do everything for you.
And then?
Four of them.
And you'll be – I want to be your sugar. I want to be your.
You can just
your
say,
Huckleberry. You're going to be his Huckleberry.
I'll do whatever he wants.
His John McClane.
Tootie fruity sugar booty. I'll do whatever he wants. I don't care. I just want to hear it once. Make it fun, Uncle D. Or you that, or sell the team and get out of here. There's your two choices. Either sell it and beat it, or start being fun and saying crazy stuff like that. Start doing crazy Al Davis stuff. I don't even care about winning anymore. Honestly, I'm in Houston. I don't care about winning. All I care about is start. I just want train wrecks. I want you to start going, hey, look at this. I want you to have a sock puppet at press conferences. This is my sock puppet named Don Julio. Hey, Don Julio, who are we signing? We're signing some pretty good folks. Orale. I just want to say, híjole, híjole. Hey, listen to this, Vatos. And I just want you to have a sock puppet. Or maybe a tiny little person next to you that there's no who wears a hat, a huge ass 10-gallon hat, who never talks and you never even reference him, you never even mention he's there. He just walks around you and you make people ask who he is. Like you just walk around and just say, when they say, who's the guy with you? Who's that little fellow with you? Just say, I'm not even gonna answer that question for you. I can't believe you'd ask that. And then put it back on them, like right. Make them feel dirty for asking. Walk around the little person with a 10-gallon hat. Have a sock puppet. Say tutti frutti sugar booty. Like end everything that you do. Do a Michael Jackson spin. You know, like
he's not Uncle D is not doing a Michael Jackson kick.
Do that. Have paint on your face and start calling yourself I am a juggalo. Call yourself. Say that you're a juggalo. You know, call yourself. Drayton Too Dope. Shaggy D.
What was that one?
Drayton Too Dope. Instead of Shaggy Too Dope, you just be Drayton Too Dope. Become a juggalo. Do something like wear super high water pants that are so obvious that you have to, like, people have to start saying, Drayton, I mean, it's above your sock line.
With white socks.
Yeah, with white socks. Start wearing mismatched shoes. Go crisscross and wear your shirt backwards one day and roll up one side of your pants. Roll it up to your knees and leave the other one down. From crisscross will make you jump. Start referencing rap lyrics in your press conferences. Do stuff that will make me say, what the hell is Drayton going to do? I can't miss Astros baseball. If I miss it, I might miss a little person in a 10-gallon hat. Have cat juggling.
When you
throw knives at people. Release snakes in the park without telling people. Go over with – have water cannons. Like, have the Astros party pack, but have it super soakers. Just blast people. Blast them with baby oil that's hard to get off. Like, oh, man, baby oil all over my suede, Uncle D. He's like, why are you wearing suede in the summer? You know, do stuff like that. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but the jelly is actually habanero jelly. It's super spicy, and kids are crying at the park. Do that. Popcorn with truffle salt. You know? Do that. Near beer. Trick everyone to sell duels a whole day. Say, everyone, I can't get drunk. This is $10. I can't even get a buzz. I tricked you. I want tricky Drayton, where you just don't know what the hell he's going to do. We replaced your beer with a mixture of beer and urine. Oh, D! Shaggy 2D the Juggalo! What did you do this time? I mean, these are all things that he could be doing that would make me go, man, I'll tell you what, I don't care who your infield is. I don't care if I've never heard of hardly any of them. I don't care what their splits are away from Colorado. I don't care if Brett Wallace looks like he has 10 iPads in his pants. I don't care. Because he's got iPad booty. I don't care. I would watch that. I'll watch that. Either that or sell the team and let us take it seriously.
All right.
Those are your choices.
Those two choices.
And hey, and you, hey, football Drayton over at Reliant. I got my eyes on you too, buddy. I'm watching your moves. Your moves aren't much better, football Drayton.
Go ahead. If you can make people laugh talking about him, you win an Emmy.
I can't do any kind of, we are on the right track. I can't. There's just nothing even funny about that. It's just disgusting. I want Drayton to start lifting his shirt up and said, we've got a situation.
The point of his stomach.
I want to start calling himself Sitch. I want Drayton to come to the park with a blowout like Pauly D from Jersey Shore. I want him to run around Snooki like, we have Snooki night at the park. And have Snooki with him. Look at this, everybody. This is Snooki. But have it be like some tall, super pale girl and call her Snooki. Like, she is from Jersey Shore. No, she's not. Yes, she is. But you're in on the joke, but you act like you're not. That'll be part of the genius of it, Uncle D. Don't you see? Don't you see the nights you can have, too? Forget dog night at the park where you bring your dogs. How about people bring, release a wild wolverine, like, in the middle of a concourse. Like, we are releasing wild boars. Everyone gets their own hunting knife or crossbow, and if you kill it, you get a bat signed by. We'll get a signed by. We still got one from Matsusaka or whatever his name was that played second base for us. It cost us a couple few million. You get that. And we've also got some different types of Japanese animation, if you know what I mean. Some cartoons that are a little bit sexual in nature.
Asians.
What'd you say?
Oh, Asians.
I don't know. These are just ideas for you to ponder.
Or sell the team.
Or sell the team.
That's it.
Or on a serious note.
Sell the team.
Richie, where do you stand with Drayton right now? So I always have to check with you. Sometimes you're good with him. Sometimes you're not good with him. Where are you right now?
BFF.
No, you're not.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Why? He's selling.
That's the best time.
I'm going to miss him. And you're going to miss
him.
He's
going to have a boatload of money.
At least you get some laughs. Are you getting any funny bits out of the Texans? You getting any funny bits out of Rick Smith? Is he making you laugh?
I had an unintentionally funny bit when I was really mad yesterday, and it made these two guys laugh. Yeah. I wasn't laughing.
No. No.
You're right on this one.
You're having double your blood pressure medication.
There is nothing funny right now about the Texans.
Yeah,
I can't
laugh
even make
about
funny
that
Amobi
Okoye draft. He was 12 years old.
Not funny.
Not funny anymore.
Not one thing you're saying that's
funny. Not
funny
anymore.
This. See, the Astros have gone to the World Series, and the Astros have had some success. So in the back of our mind, we have gotten some pleasure from the Houston Astros in the past. I've grown up with the Astros my whole life. I went to see Joe Negro, who I thought his name was Joe Negro. No offense, Dell. I thought that when I was five. I did. When I was five, I thought that. I saw him pitch against Tom Seaver. It was pouring down rain. It was my sister's birthday. I remember that. I came home. My mom had peanut butter chews with chocolate on top. Waiting for us. I remember that. Astros lost.
Did you say to your mother, why is his name Negro?
My parents quickly corrected me. It's not Negro. It's Necro. Crow. K-R-O. And I'm like, K, I'm five. I don't really know that much spelling. So that's how that conversation went. But no, I mean, we've derived some pleasure from them in the past. You know what I mean? The Astros have, Drayton has won
for us.
They have
some money in the bank. They have a little money in the bank.
They've got, yes. The Texans,
almost
you know,
out.
Their money
the
in the bank was just,
low.
Their money in the bank was only Bob McNair brought football back to Texas, and he's been cruising on that trust fund for a long, long time, hasn't he? We've just been happy. Hey, thanks for bringing football back to Houston. You got a long trust fund with us.
And you're classy. Yeah.
Relatively. No, well, you're not a creep.
No.
He's not a creep.
He's classy.
Well, what's so classy about him?
He does things the right way. Well,
like what?
He's just classy. You ever seen that blue blazer he's
got? Yeah, see, we just say classy.
Red tie.
The red
tie. No, we say classy a lot about Bob. I'm just asking you. I'm not saying he's not, but why do you say that? Based on what?
Well, he's never gotten arrested.
Right.
In a park doing anything.
Have you ever been arrested?
Yeah.
For being in a park?
No, not for being in a park.
You're classy, too.
Well, yeah, not so much. No, Bob's classy.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying we've given.
He gets dressed up a lot.
No, Bob McNair has gotten a tremendous. I just gave him. I just assumed he was a really good owner for a long time. And it wasn't until this year where I really. And maybe I'm late to the party and I started realizing I've read this guy wrong. He doesn't know what he. He really legitimately doesn't know what he's doing.
Football people think he's a good owner because they would like to work for him because they got a lot of job security.
And by good. What's the definition of good owner?
Doesn't fire anybody.
Classy.
We're back to the classy argument.
That was, you can see, that was our thoughts on, well, at least my thoughts on Bob McNair those years ago, and it's only gotten worse. Although they won four division championships since then. So we sound like a bunch of crybabies until you realize, well, 11 and 12 are good teams. These other 9 and 7 division championships only feel like you should have half the flag that you can unfurl, like, division championship, question mark. I mean, they count. Jacksonville's getting their AFC South division title question mark flag this year. You win the AFC South, you just win 9 games, you're there. You should be good. It's 8:34 here on the bench. I'm Lance Zierlein. Coming up next, Bill Williamson is going to join. Speaking of the Texans, we're going to talk about his article where he says Bob McNair would be a fool to fire Bill O'Brien. Would he? We'll find out with Bill Williamson next.
Baby land goes where the islands go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back to The Bench here. John Granato is out. Lance Zierlein filling in on this Wednesday. And we appreciate you joining us. Joining us right now is a football writer who's been around 21 years now, Bill Williamson. You've seen him on ESPN. He's on lineups.com now, fan-sided. Sporting News just recently added an article up here. I actually saw it in Yard Barker, but they pick it up, I think, from lineups. And it was about Bill O'Brien, so I wanted to make sure and bring him on the air to talk about that. Bill, welcome into the show. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, how are you? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. So your article, the entire article is about why it would be a mistake for the Houston Texans to fire Bill O'Brien. Now, that was written, obviously, before the latest beatdown at the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers, although my guess is it really doesn't matter to you one way or another because they've been so diminished by injuries that they're really not very competitive right now. But give all the listeners, I'm not going to rehash the entire article, I want to get your thoughts on why it would be a mistake to let Bill O'Brien go at this juncture.
Well, I mean, I think the guy's an upper-level coach. I don't, you know, I'm not an elite coach at all, but the key, I mean, you don't have to tell the people in Houston all the injuries that that team has gone through. I mean, just brutal. And then you add in, you know, dealing with the hurricane in the preseason and the left tackle holding out and then being traded. There's just a lot of things that coach had to deal with this year, and if you look at his history in Houston before, you know, two playoff runs, no losing records. I think this is the anomaly. And when you lose a quarterback like they did, a rookie quarterback, who obviously was a great fit for that coach, I just think it would be counterproductive if they fire him. Now, if he has a bad year next year with healthy guys, that's a different story. But I don't think he deserves to be fired. Now, yesterday, he made some weird calls, and, you know, some people on Twitter were saying he's almost begging to get fired. I don't know about that, but I just think he deserves a year with Watson being healthy. I just don't think he's a guy, if you look at his track record, he deserves to be fired in Houston.
So, you know, it's an interesting situation because, in one hand, you do have a large number of extenuating circumstances, the hurricane, the Dwayne Brown scenario, early injury to J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson injury, really a plethora of injuries, the injury immediately to Whitney Mercilus. So there are a lot of standard reasons where you would say, yeah, this should not be held against him. I completely agree with you. I think the one area that is tougher to get a feel for unless you're constantly, you know, talking about it or dealing with it is the relationship between head coach and general manager. And I don't think it's a very good one. And when you have that, Bill, I think that is what changes maybe some of the dynamics in terms of does he deserve to be fired? I'm not a big fan of just
firing guys based on one bad season. I'm not a big fan of that, and Jack Del Rio could get the boot there in Oakland this year. But I do think that I am concerned, though, when a head coach and a general manager, when they don't see eye to eye and maybe don't really get along that great, to me, that's where I stop worrying so much about what the circumstances were that led to a record, and I start worrying, how do these guys function together as a family, you know, as an organization of decision makers and moving forward? Is it a relationship that can work? That's where I'm not 100% sure on that. As a matter of fact, I'm not even 50% sure. I'm very concerned about whether or not it can work with both of them. And I can tell you this much, Rick Smith's not losing a power struggle. He never has. He's not going to in probably in my lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there a long, 2006?
Six, yeah.
That's just unheard of in the NFL. Yeah, I mean, if there's a knock on Bill O'Brien, you know, it's probably, does he get along well with others? And, you know, I think if you, there's probably a bit of a history there of him not getting along with people over the years. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And when there is friction between people in those two roles, it usually does not work. I mean, that's what blew things up in San Francisco between Harbaugh and Balke, and the 49ers are just now starting to get out of that hole. So, yeah, you make a good point, but, you know, I think ownership in Houston say, look, this is a good coach. You guys got to figure this out. And I just hate for it to end so early in Watson's career, because I think the Watson-O'Brien partnership could be really good.
It sure looks good. And I think Deshaun Watson, you know, I wrote him up pre-draft. I watched all of his games and his throws, and I saw the flaws, and I saw him again on tape this year. I saw him watching the games. I mean, he's not always a great decision maker. There are some concerns with his velocity when he really doesn't have his mechanics right. But with all that said, the negatives, the positives, just like in college, far outweigh that. And I guess the question now becomes, there's going to be a school of thought where you're too afraid to pull a trigger on a change because you don't know if Deshaun Watson will respond as well to another coach, or will another coach have an offense that fits Deshaun. But Deshaun Watson was successful in high school. He was successful with Dabo Swinney. He was successful in a very short sample size with Bill O'Brien. I'm starting to kind of figure out that maybe Deshaun Watson – oh, and by the way, he had Chad Morris as an offense coordinator 1 year at Clemson and then another one the next year. I'm starting to think that the coaching maybe is a little less important to Deshaun Watson than maybe with some of the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, but, you know, on the other side, here he is. He's going to be rehabbing from this injury in the offseason. Does he really need to learn a whole new system while rehabbing as well? You don't want to put too much on him. I don't know. I would just give O'Brien another year and see, can he have some better luck with the health? Can things be a little bit more calm around the team and see what happens? I just think it might be a little short-sighted to get rid of him at this point.
Moving on, I referenced Jack Del Rio in Oakland. This is always one of the most stunning things. Here you have two teams. Let's go three teams. Tampa Bay, Dallas, Oakland. Three of the teams that I would guess, if you had polled most football analysts and you said, give me six teams that you think are your six teams that are going to be there at the end of the year, my guess is Raiders and Cowboys would have definitely been in there for most. And I think Tampa would have been the hot choice for a lot of teams as well. And yet all three of these teams out of the playoffs, and all three of them kind of had some big regressions with their quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, full disclosure, I picked Tampa Bay to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was right there. I thought Tampa Oakland was a viable. I thought it was a viable Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah, and the Raiders are certainly the biggest disappointment in the NFL this year. And you know, we're always surprised by these upstarts, and we're surprised when teams take a quick dive. But it happens every year. But the thing in Oakland, I mean, you know, the quarterback, like you said, he was a legit MVP candidate last year. And he just looked, I mean, he looked terrible last night. Just terrible. I mean, I tweeted out, this is a game that looks like it's two backup quarterbacks are playing. I mean, Nick Foles is very much a backup quarterback. And Derek Carr was right there with him. He looked probably worse than Foles did.
I just couldn't believe, and to this point, I mean, and to this, you know, I don't want to jump too much into Oakland. I don't know if the Houston fans care, but fantasy football owners at least certainly cared about the fortunes of Derek Carr to some extent, but maybe to a greater extent. What has happened to Amari Cooper? I mean, my gosh, falling completely off the map, and I think that's obviously hurt Derek Carr as well, but that offense with Marshawn Lynch coming in, it didn't materialize at any point this season.
You look at Amari Cooper, his first 2 years in the NFL, he was great in the first half of the season, both years, and really fell off in the second half dramatically. Well, this year, he was bad. He had one unbelievable game against Kansas City, mm-hmm. 210 yards, two touchdowns, unbelievable game. Other than that game, if you look at his last year and a half now, he's been really, really below average. You know, lower level number two receiver. And they drafted this guy to be, an elite receiver. And it's weird because he has made plays in this league. He can do it. But he's just fallen apart in the last, now 24 games, 23, 24 games. And, that's a big sample size for a guy who's played in three NFL seasons.
Do you think it's too early to be anointing anybody as a failure or as a success after a year, 2 years? Because you look at Jared Goff, a lot of people were giving up on Jared Goff, which to me is crazy. I mean, last year was literally just a redshirt year for him. Anyone who followed the team knew that. But more surprisingly, Dak has regressed a little bit, but this isn't completely unusual for a guy in his second year to struggle, especially when defense coordinators start changing game plans up on you, and especially when you don't have Zeke Elliott for six games.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's a hard league, and guys are going to regress. And remember last year people thought Aaron Rodgers was done. Remember that for about a four-game stretch?
Yeah, guys, I remember.
Guys struggle sometimes. I'm a Zach Prescott believer. I just love his makeup, and I just think he's going to be fine. I think we do make decisions on these quarterbacks a little too quickly.
I think without question, I don't think it's too quick on Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought he was going to be a good NFL quarterback when he went to San Francisco. I feel equally good about that, if not more so now. He's 4-0 as a starter for San Francisco. But I think one of the things that's interesting is Bill Belichick gets a tremendous amount of credit for the success he's had in New England, as well he should. But if you really dig deep into personnel matters, he has not been the best personnel guy. And you look at the dealings of Jacoby Brissett for Dwayne Allen and flip-flop draft picks with the Colts, and then Jimmy Garoppolo for a 2018 second-round pick. I mean, Bill Belichick really let some quarterbacks with some value go for relatively pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, I was stunned when that Garoppolo trade went down. I mean, I loved it from the minute I saw it for the 49ers. And, I mean, they're set. Their problem was solved. And just a terrific, terrific trade by them. I mean, yeah, you're right. The Belichick, it was weird. I mean, there was talking back in March that, they can get the number 12 pick from the Browns, which obviously ended up being Deshaun Watson in Houston. And it was like, well, they don't want to trade him to the Browns for the number 12. And then, in the middle of the season, they get rid of him for a second-round pick. It is very strange. We don't have a lot of chances to question Bill Belichick. I think he's the greatest of all time. But, that decision was weird. And Brissett as well, because I think, if Andrew Luck gets healthy, the Colts can probably flip Brissett for a pretty nice return. So, yeah. And now the question is, who do you have in New England behind Brady who, whether we like to admit it or not, he is 40. They're not going to be there forever. So, found it a little strange.
Yeah, very much so. Well, listen, Bill, we appreciate you joining us. That's Bill Williamson. You can follow Bill on Twitter at @BWilliamsonNFL, @BWilliamsonNFL. He contributes at lineup.com, fansided, sporting news, Yard Barker, the Locked On Raiders podcast as well. So a lot of different ways to catch up with Bill, longtime football writer. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill. Transitioning over to something else before we take a break. ESPN has an article, because it's time for a bunch of lists, and they did an article called Worst Seasons in Every Franchise's History. And all these, right, all these seasons are fresh in our mind here. I mean, it's only been 15, relatively speaking. It's not a ton. And Sarah Barshop, who is the writer for the Chronicle now, she follows the beat for the Houston Texans. She had the worst season listed as 2002. Now, that's the opening season. Here's what she said. The Texans' worst season in franchise history was their very first. The 2002 Texans had the number one pick and selected quarterback David Carr. Houston didn't have the offensive line to protect Carr, especially after left tackle Tony Boselli, the team's first pick in expansion draft, had to retire because of injuries. That season, Carr set an NFL record, getting sacked 76 times. The Texans won their first game at home against the Cowboys, but won only three more games the rest of the season. I don't know if she was here for all these seasons. I'm not sure where Sarah came from. I can't co-sign 2002 as the worst. Yeah, you can throw out 76 sacks if you want to, and that certainly was terrible. But did you know, just a very cursory checkup on Pro Football Reference, the Texans actually had worse point differentials. I would say 2005 was their worst team. They were 2-14. They didn't get four wins with an expansion team. That expansion team in 2002 at least had a pretty salty defense. They were just terrible on offense. There wasn't enough players. It was a brand new team. You have to take that into account. 2005, they had two wins in 2005. They had a point differential. They were 30th on offense and 31st on defense. They were minus 171 in point differential. That's even worse than what they were in 2002. In 2013, they lost 14 straight. They were 2-14 and had a point differential of minus 152. Of course, the only difference is they actually weren't horrible on offense or defense, statistically speaking. They just, you know, that was Matt Schaub's famous pick six season. But I just a little interesting note there. They had the worst season of all time for the Texans in 2002. A, beating the Cowboys in your first ever game, and then winning four games as an expansion team. That wasn't their worst season. 2005 was their worst season. I think that was their worst season. Minus 171 point differential. That was terrible. And that was after you had had plenty of drafts to work through. But as we know, rounds 2 through 5, never really a specialty of the Houston Texans, no matter who the GM is. It's 8:55 here on The Bench, 97.5. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get back to the phone lines. Look at that. Is this info line questions just randomly come in? All right, that's fine. We'll handle an info line question coming up in just a second. And then want to bring up the news on Clint Capela again as well, in case you missed it. Clint is going to miss a couple of games, and we will tell you about that. 713-780-3776. I'm Lance Zierlein. Keep it right here on 97.5.